You may have seen the Boston Globe's special section yesterday on the Tsarnaevs, the family of the accused Boston Marathon bombers, Tamerlan and Zahar Tsarnaev.
Three Globe reporters spent 5 months researching the family's story in four different countries: Russia, Kyrgyzstan, Canada, and the U.S.
And two of those reporters are with us now to tell us how this project came to be and what they learned. One of them is Patty Wen, who covers social services, family, and health issues for the paper. Hi, Patty.
Hi, Sasha.
And the other is Sally Jacobs. She's a special projects reporter for the Globe. Hi, Sally.
Hi.
And Patty and Sally, a question for both of you. I'll let you decide who you want to jump in first. Much has been written about the Tsarnaevs, obviously, in the past few months. Could you take us back to the editorial meeting, or whatever the genesis was for this, in which you decided that more should be done, and what holes you felt like there still existed that you wanted to fill in?
Sally? Sure. Certainly there's been a great deal written about these brothers and the family, many, many pages. I think there was a feeling amongst us, though, that we really still didn't understand many things about it, really the why of it. Why did they do it? If this was an act of terrorism, we didn't understand why, and if it wasn't, if it was something else more local, we didn't understand that either. It seemed worthwhile to really dig deep into this, to answer the questions, really, so we understood why it happened, so maybe it wouldn't happen another time.
And Patty Wen, anything you want to add to that?
Well, I was just going to add that I was actually part of the story. There was a team of us the day of the manhunt, and we did sort of a profile, but we only had, you know, one day of time to report it. We did a profile of the brothers. But really, that story was the only story we have done in depth about the family and the brothers. I mean, other stuff has just been, you know, Jahar's various appearances in court and things like that. But this was we just decided to just go deep and do it. And this is really the only other sort of effort in that way.
And it was really exhaustive. And one of the things I read yesterday that I hadn't read before, and I've read quite a bit about the Tsarnaevs, as many people in Boston have, was this idea that Tamerlan Tsarnaev may have had voices in his head, the suggestion that he had some kind of mental illness. Is as far as I know, is the first time that's been reported. Sally, can you elaborate on that?
No, that's not entirely true. The Rolling Stone piece with the legendary cover, it was mentioned in there. A friend of Zubedat, the mother of the boys, had said this to her friend Anna Nakaeva, who is a friend in Newton, a Chechen. But they didn't go into it very much. We ended up finding a couple of other people who could address it, namely Donald Larking, who was a friend of Tamerlan's who went to the mosque with him in Cambridge. They became very good friends, and Tamerlan, over the course of a year and a half, told him quite often or several times that he was hearing these voices, and it seemed to become more urgent as time went on. In addition, after the bombing, Anna Nakaeva talked to her husband about what Zubedat had told her, that her son was hearing voices. And he ended up talking, oddly enough, to the psychiatrist who had treated the Tsarnaev parents, and they speculated about what might have been wrong with Tamerlan, one of them thinking he might have been a schizophrenic, the other thinking he suffered from paranoia.
So, Patty and Sally, in terms of the unanswered questions that you went into this with and then hope to try to answer, one of the key ones, of course, is to what extent these two young men were radicalized versus was this sort of an isolated criminal act by two very angry, disaffected young men versus was there a mental illness playing into this? How would you say you sort of separated those various factors out in terms of how much they played a role?
Well, I think it wasn't so much. I think the issue of their personal psychological states, I think Tamerlan's probably being more sort of extreme, or maybe you could actually put a diagnostic code on that. But I think for Jahar, I think it's more of the local scenario that you described, that this is, while they probably borrowed a page out of, you know, jihad literature to do this, I don't know that they actually seem to be part of any massive conspiracy beyond their own sort of personal disarray and how they decided to join forces to do this.
Another lingering question has been whether these bombings could have been prevented, specifically if the U.S. had heeded those Russian warnings about Tamerlan in 2011 and 2012. Did you come away from your reporting feeling that it was fair criticism that perhaps it could have been intercepted in advance?
Well, myself, I feel that there's quite a bit we don't know about that. I mean, we do know about the Russian tip-off. We do know that the authorities talked to Tamerlan and his mother. You know, could they have gone farther? I suppose in hindsight you could say yes, but, you know, I don't think they really had a great deal of evidence. You know, at the end of the day, right now, we don't have evidence that Tamerlan was affiliated with any overseas radical group that we know of. Now, you know, that could be possible, of course. So I think it's hard to really criticize without knowing more.
Another question outstanding is to what degree the younger brother, Zahar Tsarnaev, may have been largely influenced by his older brother, Tamerlan. Patty, when did you come away thinking that, from this reporting, thinking that people who assume that might be making an incorrect assumption?
Yeah, I do feel that the image that Zahar was some sort of a timid younger brother that sort of obediently did what his older brother told him to do and was otherwise this sort of model student and athlete, I think that does not ring true to me. I think that Zahar was a voluntary participant. I think after he left high school, he became more sort of in disarray himself, and I think that he became much more of a thrill seeker, a risk taker, and I felt that he thought he could get away with a lot of things. And his life was sort of falling apart in terms of his grades and financial aid. I think that he ended up somehow... And he obviously defied his older brother many times before. His older brother kept telling him to pray more or to, you know, not party, and he obviously defied him openly before. So I don't see him as docile. I think that probably what happened is that as time went on, I think that somehow psychologically they came together, and I think he came under the influence, not so much just of his brother probably, but I do think it's worth noting that some of these sort of radical Muslim websites have a seductive rhetoric for a lot of angry young people, particularly young men. And I think somehow they came together.
For this project, The Globe spoke to the Tsarnaev mother, who I believe now lives in Dagestan. And I think that conversation was just last month, so relatively recent. At this point, how open are the Tsarnaev parents about speaking to the press about their sons?
I did speak with her. I was able to get her on her telephone. You know, she's a chatty woman, and at first we started talking a bit about Tamerlan, but as the conversation went on, she became more wary, I think. We talked a little bit about his education and why he struggled in school, which she said he didn't, although he did not succeed at three different schools. So the answer to that really is that she doesn't want to talk, but we did get her for a while.
What did you get a sense that her mindset is right now about this whole situation?
I would say anxious and upset. She's, you know, a high decibel person to begin with, but I think just the notion of this, look, her son, you know, his life is in the offing here. So, of course, she's very, very upset about it. How could you not be?
I'm sure the two of you saw the Boston Herald today, which quotes Liz Norden, the mother of JP and Paul Norden, who each lost a leg during the marathon bombing. And she called the Globe's reporting sickening because she says it makes excuses for the bombers, for the alleged bombers, her sons, that it may even be fodder for Zahar Tsarnaev's lawyers to argue that he should be spared the death penalty because he was a victim of bad luck and poverty and a troubled family and maybe even mental health issues. What's your response to that take on this project?
Well, I have to say I can speak to that because I was actually personally really surprised by it. Liz Norden and I go back, you know, quite a bit on this issue. I wrote a story the day of the bombing. I happened to have to go to Beth Israel Hospital. I was just sort of stationed there. And I met her, and I wrote the first story that even talked about her waiting for the outcome of her two sons, who each had lost a leg. And so I've been keeping her up to date on things. She knew I was working on a big piece, and I've been to their home. I've been seeing her sons at the hospital. And so I actually texted her this weekend, and I said, by the way, that big story about the Tsarnaevs is coming out. I think you might find it painful. You may not want to read it. It's very long. And she texted me, and she said back, and she said, you know, my sons don't like to read this, but I like to read all this stuff. I want to understand what happened, that she wanted to sort of get her head around it. So I don't really know how to speak to the Herald story because that's not what she said. And even in the texts that I have here, it's just on my phone, you know, she said, I really hope, you know, we can get together and have lunch. I didn't see the anger that she seems to have expressed to the Herald. I sort of heard her saying what I think was the Globe's motivation here, which is to kind of try to really understand a very, very horrific but probably complicated situation.
That's Patty Wen along with Sally Jacobs. They are two of the three Boston Globe reporters, along with David Filipov, who wrote yesterday's special section, The Fall of the House of Tsarnaya. Patty and Sally, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Sasha.
And stay with us. Coming up, a White House conference on drug policy reform and how not to talk about drug addiction. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.